Good morning. Well, this morning we're going to talk about peace. And I'm talking about peace with God. I got to share my testimony the other day. And every time I do that, there's a peace comes on. You know, I'm madly in love with Jesus Christ. And I love to talk about him and what he's done in my life, especially if it helps somebody. And I thought of that scripture, because I don't always feel peaceful. But I think it's in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And that means we have a choice. We can be ate up with anxiety, or as we walk by faith, we can allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Remember what Jesus said to his church before he left? He said, peace I leave with you, not as the world does. I'm leaving you my peace. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad he did. And I still struggle at times with allowing that peace to rule in. But praise God, as a Christian, I have a choice. And the more I'm reading the Word, the more I see that when we come to Christ and we're born again, for the first time in our lives, we have options besides the things that we used to do. And we can choose to walk in faith or in the flesh. I told this person yesterday, in the flesh, I'm an alcoholic and an addict. But in the spirit, I'm a child of God. And I'm free from addiction. In the flesh, I can have a pretty short trigger, temper-wise, but in the spirit, the peace of God lives in. And I have a very real choice to make. And so do you as Christians. When Jesus said, don't worry, sometimes people think, well, any kind of worry is sinful. But the Greek there, he's saying, don't be anxious. When worry turns into anxiety, it controls you. When I was on the ambulance, I remember the first time I saw an anxiety attack. I just want to tell that patient, man, get over it. What is your problem? You know, she thought she was having a heart attack. She was hyperventilating. And I thought, well, she'll pass out in a minute, and then we can load her up and take her. But I've never had one, but people that have say, you think you're dying. Well, Jesus said, don't be anxious. Peter said, don't be anxious. Peter said, everything we need is in Christ. We have promises which by them we are partakers of the divine nature. That's a choice, Christian. We have to make a choice daily. This morning, we're going to talk about the reality of peace that's in our lives. As soon as I get my Band-Aid unhooked from my glasses. All right. The Apostle Paul is still writing to the church at Rome. I said I wanted to spend a few weeks in this because it's kind of a laid-back epistle for Paul. But he shares the gospel, the whole gospel. You can see Paul's theology throughout the book of Romans. And the first sermon we talked about the sinfulness of man. All men are sinners, men and women. They all need to be saved. To be saved means to be rescued. And being saved in a one-time deal is a lifetime, as far as I'm concerned, because I've had the Lord rescue me out of a lot of situations in 34 years of being a Christian. So this morning, Paul's going to talk about the peace that we have with God. And if you think about religion, Karl Barth said religion is man's attempt to get to God. So some religions pray 5 times a day. Some religions go door to door and try to sell books and pamphlets, and they're trying to earn peace with God. And you can't do that. Isaiah said, our righteous acts are as filthy rags. God's not impressed with that. He has provided a way for you and I to be reconciled to Him and to be at peace with Him. And I assure you this morning, that's what He wants for each and every one here. He wants you to be able to rest in His peace. We're in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Father, I thank You that Your word will always accomplish what You sent it out to do. Holy Spirit, I ask You to take this sword of the word and lay our hearts open before You. Let Your light and Your truth shine in our hearts and help to confirm these blessings that we have already received in Christ. If there's anyone here today who doesn't know You, who's never called on Your name, I ask that this be a day of salvation. And I know there are some here today, Lord, who are struggling, who have no peace within, and worry and anxieties and doubts and fears are clinging to them. And Lord, I pray today that they will be encouraged to lay everything at Your feet and let Your peace rule their hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said, therefore, and I've told you before that when he says therefore, he has just made a statement previous to that. And the statement he had made, you remember we talked about last week, Abraham was justified by his faith. And to the Jewish Christians, he said it was before he was ever circumcised. And it was 450 years before the law was given. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, if the heirs of the kingdom are the heirs of the law, faith is null and void. But he said, they aren't. For no one can be justified by the works of the law. Rather, we are justified by faith just as Abraham was. So Paul says, because of this, that's what therefore means, for this reason, because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's not something that I have to strive for. It's not something that I have to do good works or dress a certain way that I'll get peace with God. And I feel sorry for people that are in false religions, because I see that they're struggling trying to earn peace with God. And the only way they can get is through Jesus Christ, the very one they deny. Now, I've talked to people in false religions, and they say, I don't deny Jesus Christ, I believe in Him, but they're the spirit of Antichrist.
Because they deny that Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh.
See?
If they differ on that one opinion, that's false religion. And I tell them, you don't even have the Father. Because whoever denies the Son doesn't have the Father. You don't have God. You just have rules. You know, you're given a quota maybe of books to sell, of things to do, or told you got to pray so many times a day. And what they're trying to do all across the board. All religions are not the same, but they all have the same purpose and goal in mind, is to have peace with God. And they can't. Only through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice can we be reconciled to God and have peace with Him. You know, when you go through a divorce, the papers say there are irreconcilable differences. So the courts are going to grant this divorce. I'm glad that God didn't look at me and say there's irreconcilable differences between you and I. It was irreconcilable on my part. I never could pay God back for what He's done. I never could be good enough to get over the bad of my past and to be forgiven. But God said, I'll reconcile you. Now, Abraham asked God during one of the conversations, how do I know you're going to do what you say you're going to do? Now, that's kind of bold to me. And I'm kind of surprised God didn't go, you calling me a liar? But He didn't. He said, take these animals, divide them in half. And I shared this with you. That was a covenant ceremony they went through in Abram's day. And the men would take their shoes off. And they would walk between those halved animals. And they would walk in the blood and say, if I don't keep my part of the covenant, may my blood be shed. And it says that God told Abraham to divide these animals, and the sun was going down and a great darkness fell because no one could see the face of God and live. And Abraham saw a torch pass between the pieces. And God said, know for a surety that your seed will be evil treated in a land for 400 years, and then I'll bring him out. You remember last week? Paul said, God is the God who calls things that are not as though they were. God was already talking about the nation of Israel before it was born. God walked through the blood. He was saying, Abram, if I don't keep my part of the bargain, may my blood be shed. And about 3,000 years or so later, God walked up Golgotha with a rough timber cross on his back, and he shed his blood, even though he wasn't the guilty party. How can we not trust a God like that? And yet we doubt him, Christians. When I say we, I'm talking about me too. I'm not saying I never doubt, and you guys need to come up on the plane where I'm at, but I'm saying that we doubt him at times, and it doesn't help when the accuser of the brethren starts whispering in our ears. Where's God? You raised those kids in church. Why did they go wrong? I like something I heard Mark Lowry say. He said, people say, my kids turned out wrong. He said, so did God's. When you think about that, so did God's. And He had to shed blood to reconcile us. And now, I have peace. I've been confessing this all week. I was working the other day and nothing was going right, and I started talking to the wood and my tape and anybody that would listen. And in my mind, I said, I am about ready to walk away from this whole thing. Then I heard, let the peace of Christ rule. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I had your peace. I had peace with you. Even though this cantankerous piece of wood isn't doing what I wanted to do, I had peace with you. And all that went away. I didn't walk away. Finally figured it out. Took me a while, but I figured out what I need to do. Let the peace rule in you. God has already made it possible for you and I to be reconciled to Him and to live in peace. But you know why we don't, Christians, so many times? We do not allow that. I'm not worthy. Well, neither am I. And when people tell me, well, I'm just not worthy, I say, you're right, you're not. And neither am I. God didn't save us because we were worthy. Paul just spent the last chapter saying God saved you because you believed what He said about His Son and you received what He did on the cross for your sins. And God said, that's it. That's all the sacrifice there is. Now we're reconciled. Paul said the law that was against us, God nailed it to the tree in the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not under law anymore. Because where the law is, then there is transgression. God abided by the law. The soul that sins will die. But God took the law, which Paul said stood against us, because if you sinned, you died. And God said, I can't have that. That's not going to be the way I'm going to be reconciled to you. And He, in Christ, He nailed the law to the cross. And God says, now you and I are at peace. Now we're reconciled. Now you can call me Father. That's what I told that person the other day. I said, He's my Father. Yeah, He's my Father. And I said, not only that, Paul said He sent His Spirit to live in me, and I can call Him Abba. And that is Aramaic for Daddy. I never called my dad Daddy, except when I was real little. When I got bigger, he was Dad. You know, wasn't going to say Daddy. That sounds kind of baby. All the girls always called him Daddy. And I thought, you know, that's too feminine for me. I'm a man. Muy macho hombre. Dad. But I love the fact that I can pray to my Heavenly Father and say, Daddy, it's me, your trouble kid. And God can look at me and say, I don't see any fault in you. You're my child. I shed the blood of my Son so you and I could be reconciled. I don't know how many times as a Christian I have struggled with things and the Lord would say, I already took care of that on the cross. There's nothing more I can do. You receive it. I said in the beginning, in the flesh, I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. In the flesh. But in the Spirit, I'm a child of the living God. And I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. That's why I don't do what I used to do. Because I'm walking in the Spirit. God invites you to walk in the Holy Spirit. That's why He placed Him in you, Christian. And I'm going to tell you, there's something to this confession thing, because all week I've been confessing I have peace through Jesus Christ. And it is a reality. And I just, I have peace with God. I can't earn it. I don't have to earn it. He made a way through Jesus Christ. Yeah, I have peace. I drove down the road and I went, glory! I got peace! I thought about doing it in town yesterday. I thought, well, they might pick me up. You know, I didn't know. But I have been in that mood all week. I have peace. Paul said, therefore, since we have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Mark that off your bucket list if you want to say that. Stop trying to earn that peace. He's already did it for you. If you are a child of God, you are at peace with it. Well, I don't feel at peace. Well, it doesn't say anything in there about when you feel that you're at peace, then you're at peace. Remember, God calls things that are not as though they were. And I'm learning to do that. When I stuck my thumb in the router, I didn't say, oh, well, praise God. I thought, you idiot. You just got on to your grandson and said, watch what you're doing, son. Now, I said, Lord, I've still got peace with you. I've got peace. Amen. I have peace.
What's that got to do with the cut tongue?
Well, I don't know, but that's what I said. I have peace with the Lord. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, and not only do I have peace, you have peace. When I look at everyone in this audience, unless you're not born again, I see people that have peace with God. Yeah, you don't have to earn that. He did it.
Paul says, by faith, we have access into this grace in which we stand.
I never saw it like this before till this week. Grace is unmerited favor. You guys all know that. Paul said, because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you have access to this grace by which or in which you stand. How do I stand against my enemy? By God's grace. When the accuser of the brothers comes to me and says, you sure didn't act like a Christian. I say, man, get out of my face, dude. I am saved by the grace of God. He said in Isaiah, their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. That's the heritage of my servant. And it's by grace that we stand, church. Brother Mark talked about hope. I talked to this person the other day. I said, where's your hope? I could tell where it was. I could smell where it was. And I said, how's that working? Well, not very good. Didn't work for me either. But I said, you know, I have a hope. I said, I've never met Jesus personally. I mean, physically, if I can say it. I've never touched him. I've never stood face to face and talked to him. But he's just as real to me as you are. And that's where my hope lies. You know, I'm going to die someday. But I'm not afraid of that because Jesus Christ tasted death for me. I told a dear saint a while back that I was sitting with her beside her bed. And I said, you know one promise we have as Christians? Jesus Christ tasted death for all of us. And I said, what you're getting ready to do, he already did it. And he's going to get you by the hand. He's going to walk you through it. And she said, I know. And we're able to smile. Paul said, because of our faith, we have access into this grace where we stand. Remember what he said to the Ephesians? We have this armor that God has given us. And he says, having done everything to stand, what did he say to do? Stand. Stand firm. Stand boldly. Let it come out of your mouth when the enemy assaults. Though you may come at me one way, you're going to scatter seven. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That includes persecution. That includes rejection. That includes failure on my part. For nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I've heard people say, you preach too hard. I can't live up to that. Neither can I. But I know what the Word says. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus to give me strength. Yeah. Paul says something we don't like. He said we can rejoice in suffering. Well, you can rejoice in suffering. I can't. I whine in suffering because of the Lord. Mother Teresa was telling about a time when she was in India and she was going to a village to deliver a baby, and it was during the monsoon season, pouring down rain, She was riding a horse and buggy, and the buggy started skipping on that mud. And she said, "Lord Jesus, please don't let me go in the ditch." She said, as soon as it came out of her mouth, wham, right into the ditch she went. And she said, she sat there and said, "Jesus, I thought I was your friend." And the Lord said, "You are. This is how I treat all my friends." And she said, "No wonder you have so few." How can we rejoice in suffering? Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. Yeah. It doesn't matter what comes against me. It does in a way. It hurts. But I have hope in Jesus Christ. Even when I'm suffering. Paul said, I can rejoice in suffering. I told you, Corey Ten Boom's sister, Betsy, was praying one time when they were at Ravensbrück, this Nazi concentration camp, and she said, "Father, I thank you for the fleas and the lice in this bed." And Corey said, "How can you thank him for that?" She said, "The Bible says give thanks in everything." And they were having Bible studies and leading women to Christ. And a lot of them were executed. And she said, Betsy came into the barracks one day just all aglow and said, "You know what I heard? I heard the guards over talking. You know why they don't bother us in here when we're having Bible studies? Because of the fleas and the lice. They don't want to come in here." She said, "That's how we're able to have our Bible studies unmolested. Give thanks in everything." Well, I don't feel very thankful. It didn't say just when you feel thankful, give thanks. It says give thanks. That's our hope. My hope is based on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. My hope's not based on if Kim Jong-yo ho or whatever his name is sends missiles somewhere. My hope's not based on if he's going to hit where he's aiming. My hope isn't based on the stock market. My hope isn't based on talent or people. I told this person, "Don't you ever put your hope in me, I'll let you down." Put your hope in Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. But he'll let you suffer. He'll let you go through trials if you think, "I can't take another step." And that's when he'll step up beside you and say, "Then I'll carry you. If I have to carry you, I'll carry you." Get up, dust yourself off, and keep going. So Paul said, because of our faith, we can rejoice in suffering. Jesus said that there would be many. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, the scholars say in the Greek, it says little by little, they start distrusting the one they should trust. I rarely think that any Christian just wakes up one morning and says, "I'm going to backslide." It's little by little by little. And Jesus said they stopped trusting me. I was thinking about that this week. Jesus never left off communicating with God, even when he was nailed to the cross. He still talked. And sometimes we get so mad at God, we quit talking to him. Prayer didn't do any good. That's what I had somebody tell me the other day. "Well, I've been praying and nothing's happened." I said, "How do you know?" "Nothing that I've asked for." Well, you might be asking wrong. I guarantee you, if you're a Christian and you're praying, God's hearing you. Yeah, and he may not give me what I want, but he always gives me what I need. Yeah. Sometimes, Christians, we act like a bunch of spoiled brats. I go to Walmart, and man, I see these kids throwing themselves on the floor. I seen one mother almost in tears. She was so embarrassed. She told the kid to go put something back on the rack that she wanted, and she said no, and threw herself down. Aah! And I wanted to go up and say, "Mom, give her to me for 3 days, and she'll be a rat putting back fool." But we do it to God. I didn't get my way, and I'm mad, and I ain't talking to you. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm not going to read my Bible. I don't know where it's at. But when I find it, I'm not going to read it anymore. You ever do that? I have. I walked out in my yard one day, and I said, God, I'm so mad at you right now, I don't even want to talk to you. And it didn't go my way. Later, I said, thank you. Because if you'd let me have my way here, this would have happened. Hindsight's 20/20. We can look back and see where God did a good thing in saying no. The King James says, God commendeth his love towards us. I heard a preacher say one time, it can be read this way, God recommends his love. He can recommend his love because when you were his enemy, when you were ungodly, he sent Christ to die for you. And Christian, if we get a hold of that truth, it makes a lot more sense when Paul says, now being justified, how much more will we save from his wrath? You know, when God comes back to judge the world, he's pouring his wrath out. People don't like that. Don't talk about that stuff. It's a downer. Jesus, by his life, rescues us. That's what saved me. Rescues us from the wrath of God. How's that happen? Because when I look to him in faith, and I start putting things, bad habits, whatever it is, down at his feet, and saying, Lord, I want to leave this here, Jesus empowers me to live that life. Because he's alive. If he was dead, it would be no sense in me praying and asking him to do anything. But he's not dead. Jesus Christ is alive. Yeah. And because he's alive, because he suffered as I have when tempted, yet without sin, if the Bible says he'll make a way for me, get away from it. Glory to God. You know what? We're guilty of many times. We don't look for the way out. Well, we're all this born amongst the sinners, saved by grace, and God understands our weak frail praying. Yes, sir. Jesus said, you know why you sin? Because you're a slave to sin. And I can set you free. Are you free? Do you sin? Why didn't you bring any amens out of that? Yeah. Do you live in willful sin? No. Because Jesus Christ sets you free. Because now you have a choice. Is it easy? Nope. I got to talk to somebody the other day and I said, man, being a Christian is not easy. Paul talks about suffering. You ever been rejected by somebody close to you because you're a Christian? Jesus was rejected by his own family. So they didn't believe him. Jesus was betrayed by an enemy called friend. He knows what that feels like. And he can get us through that. I heard the testimony of a man from India. He came to Christ, and in India it was against the law. Whatever village you lived in, if they were all Hindus, you had to be a Hindu. Well, his dad was a Buddhist. And he said, I came home and told him, Father, I've accepted Jesus Christ. He said, you can't do that. Well, too late, Dad, I already did. And he said, then you're dead. And he said, years later, he was preaching an evangelistic meeting, and he looked up and his dad was sitting in the far corner. And he said, maybe it was wrong, but I shifted my attention to my dad. And he said, I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he come up that aisle, tears just running down his face. And he said, I want what you have. Peace. We have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. We don't earn that. We have peace with him because of what Jesus Christ did. When's the last time you shared that with somebody that needed to hear it? As a preacher, I get more chances to share my testimony because I'm a preacher and people know it. And if I didn't, then they would say, what kind of preacher is he? When's the last time you shared Jesus Christ with anyone? I'm not talking about in Sunday school or here amongst ourselves. And we should share what Christ is doing in our lives. And if Christ isn't moving in your life, something's wrong. You better be checking into what's going on. And if the devil's not assaulting you, something's wrong. You know, the only people the devil doesn't bother are those that are no threat. Paul said, we have peace with God. It's already yours if you are a child of God. Praise God. What a God we serve. We broke faith with Him. We have sinned against Him. We deserve to die. And He said, I'm going to pay for your sins. I'll be your God. You'll be my child. He says, when you call to me, I'll say, here I am. He said in Isaiah, before the prayer even gets out of your mouth, He said, I'll say, here I am. Well, I've needed that. Do you have peace this morning? Well, I just don't feel very peaceful. I'm not asking how you feel. If you are a child of God and Jesus Christ died for your sins and you have accepted that and repented, you have peace, whether you feel like it or not. Would you stand with me this morning? I knew I wouldn't get through that whole text. I quit writing notes. I never can go by them, so I just preach the word. You know, the Lord said He was okay with that. I study. I just don't write notes anymore. When I write notes, I go too long. I've been told, so yeah. I'm just going to preach the word. Do you have peace with Jesus Christ? Well, one of you does. Do you have peace with God? Yeah. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Stop trying to earn that. Don't get me wrong, Christian. If we do wrong, we need to repent of that and confess it to God. But He doesn't take our peace away. We do. You'll find out that if you're struggling with something, you will not have any peace till you give it to Him. And then you'll have peace. If you've never called on the name of the Lord, I invite you to come forward this morning and do that during the song of invitation. If you are struggling right now with things in your life, situations and circumstances, lay them at the feet of Jesus. Praise God in your suffering and know that you have a hope that nobody can take away from you. Not even the devil. Let's sing our song of invitation.
Just as I am without one plea,
thank you.
on the back of our bulletin, our prayer list. I know there's a lot of need. Be praying for the people that God puts in your mind. That's the only way I can say that. The Bible says to be pray without ceasing. I also want to remind you that Dr. Mark is teaching on Sunday night. We've been in a study of Genesis. Last week, Dr. Mark talked about prophecy and ways that we can perceive it and ways it is perceived and misused. So come back tonight at 6 o'clock if you can. Any other requests that need to be made now? Then I ask Joe, if you would, to please close for us in prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're coming here this morning, dear God, and hear a portion of your word. I pray for those who are here, and may it always be preached in spirit and in truth. May hear your word fall to their lives as needed, Father. I pray for those who weren't with us, and I pray that they'll be with us, whether they be sick, spiritually sick, or whatever the problem is, God will take care of it. I pray for those who have not known the Lord God, that they will do so, and God will add them to the church as he sees fit. As it says in Acts 2:47, God added to the church daily those being saved. I pray for those who are in harm's way in Florida. I pray that you'll be with them, Father, that they may escape and be safe and well. May they know in their hearts, Father, God is alive and well. And those in Texas, I pray for them. May they know that the Lord God is alive and well. And he'll take care of us. As we go to our homes, Father, I pray that you will always be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
My redeemer lives, yes, my redeemer.